See, I've been waiting. Waiting on that time. Feel me if you've been waiting on yours. That moment, it's close. It's close.
Yeah. Tired of living day to day like everything's alright. Just waiting on that moment. Waiting on my moment.
And that time is now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Fighter's Block. My name is Joe Gilpin, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Jesse Rivas. How you doing this week, Jesse?
Doing good. Just thinking back at the time periods of when we used to record till 2 in the morning, because we'd record the entire episode and then the computer would malfunction and we had to go back and do the whole thing over again. Midway through the second recording, it would crash again and we would have to do it again. And progressively getting worse each episode because we're kind of saying the same thing.
Yeah, we were saying the same thing, but just with this like bloodless like recitation in our eyes. About, like, actors who are just trying to, like, get the shot. Have you ever seen Michael Richards, the guy who played Kramer?
Yes.
He
said the N-word.
No, that's not what I'm talking about, but he did do that. Yeah, there's, like, all these, like, outtakes of, like, him, and he didn't, like, handle outtakes well, so it would be like, but Jerry, we need to go to the post office, and somebody would, like, drop a glass or something, and he'd be like, guys, this is the most unprofessional bullshit I've ever seen. And he would just immediately launch into, like, white woman, where's your manager mode? You know what I mean? He wasn't able to really handle it and launch that through too well. Let's talk about white women while we're on it, Jesse. We had a women's MMA fight over the weekend, and it was fucking horrible. It was so fucking boring. I would like to speak to their manager, honestly. They have managers. I'd like to speak to them. Because this is one of the worst women's title fights I've ever seen in my life. It's one of the worst title fights I've ever seen. Horrible, horrible. Valentina Shevchenko beat Liz Carmouche over 5 rounds. Liz didn't do anything to engage. Shevchenko didn't do anything to engage. And they just sort of had a very polite staring contest for the entirety of 5 rounds.
You know, in the North, like if you're in New York, Liz is pronounced Les.
She is a les.
Yes.
She's a les, yeah. And she's never going to get a title fight again. This is probably, you know, for all intents and purposes, the end of the road for Liz Carmouche, Valentina Shevchenko. People are still, man, they're all over her, trying to tout her as, like, you know, secretly the best women's fighter in the world. But she's not a finisher by nature. You know what I mean? Like, she had a big head kick knockout win in her last fight. But, man, she has so many wins where it's just, you know, nip and tuck and staying a little bit ahead of people.
She got called out for a unification fight with Henry Cejudo. Who would win that fight?
Cejudo, by a mile. What are we kidding? Like, Henry, it's always such a funny thing when, like, ever they're trying to get over a woman's fighter, they're like, she spars with the guys. Like, the guys will get in there and work out with her, and it's kind of difficult for them in a workout. It's just a different level. But Henry Cejudo is so fucking cringeworthy, isn't he? He's so fucking bad. Whoever, I think he has that Ali guy as his manager. Like, get Henry. Henry needs a Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
An Asian Paul Heyman, which we've talked about on this show. That's the next thing. Chinese Paul Heyman.
I thought about that the whole next day after the show.
It's really addictive, man. Yeah. Shevchenko and Carmouche, there was one knockdown. There was a couple takedowns. Shevchenko, I hear about this amazing Muay Thai background and all these world championships. I don't see it. But, you know, people promise that it's there.
Going back to Asian Paul Heyman, because it is addicting.
It is addicting.
Did you know that the same way that every time the WWE is in Philadelphia, they boo the face, and they've been doing it since the Hogan era, they do the same thing in Yokohama, exactly where FMW started and exactly where all these badass boxers are coming from?
Man, it's, you know, what's old is new again, you know what I mean? Just fucking, it's the same thing over there. It's a steel town, too.
Just steel, like, town, yeah, boxing and pro wrestling and hardcore. It's like just weird.
Speaking of ECW shit, let's talk about actually what was exciting over the weekend, which was fucking Vicente Luque versus Mike Perry. Did you see this fight?
That was insane.
That was an insane fight, back and forth. Luque picks up his first decision win in the UFC, but it might be the win that gets him over the most, because he took Mike Perry's nose. And he gave him, Mike Perry is trans now because he has a vagina on his face, Jesse. It was disgusting. It got complete. It was like an Acme cartoon, just the way it was like flattened up against his face. You know what I mean?
That was an impressive, impressive victory against a big name. Since there was no real fights this weekend, that was memed more than anything. There wasn't a person around who follows MMA who didn't know this happened. That's a big win.
It's a huge win. It's a name. It was perfect matchmaking for anybody that wanted to get Luque over. He looked really good.
You know what, though? They didn't get his name over. Because it was a lot more of Mike Perry getting his ass kicked than who did it.
That's fair. That's a good point. Yeah, his name didn't get out there as much. But I still feel like it's good marketing. It's good steps in the right direction for him. And, you know, he's going to get like a top 15-ish guy in this next fight. He's really deserved it. And in this division, man, he's won, I think, like 10 of his last 11. All, you know, 170 is all killer, no filler. That's a tough, tough guy, man. This guy could really, you know, he's starting to really pick himself up some steam here. Where he might
You've
be a guy.
You've been on him for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I've been on Luque for a while. He is crushing people. He was an Ultimate Fighter guy as well, I believe. Mike Perry, like we say, he's not going anywhere because he'll pick up like a win over like Cowboy Oliveira or, you know, just like a really Paul Felder, like a tough, tough guy. But then he'll go and do something like this where he just gets his fucking ass whooped.
He's a great gatekeeper.
He's a great gatekeeper.
He's giant Donald Cerrone.
But even Donald, like, started leveling up. See, but that's the thing with Mike. He'll show... Mike, like, I fucking know. He'll show moments where he's, like, brilliant in a position, you know, with, like, his head movement and, you know, the way he cuts off the cage. But then, like, later in the round, he'll just stop doing that. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have a consistent skill set. And I'm... You know, a lot of these guys on their USADA test, like, I get scared that they're going to test positive for steroids, or maybe, you know, Nate Diaz is fighting this weekend, maybe he'll test positive for weed or something. For Perry, he's a guy where it's like, man, hopefully he doesn't come back for, like, meth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he legitimately could. So there wasn't that much else to talk about on the weekend. There was some good prospect action. Rodolfo Vieira won. Ciryl Gane won. Do you know about Ciryl Gane?
No.
Badass French kickboxer. Really good. One with an arm triangle choke, too. But he's like a K1 level kickboxer that just debuted in the heavyweight division. So he's probably going to be top 5 or 6 in the next like year and a half. You know what I mean? And in that fucking division. Where a guy like Walt Harris is getting main events against Alistair Overeem. I mean,
In DC,
which is going to happen. Maybe we'll be at that fight. That'll be cool. Hopefully.
I'm hoping there's one of those things. Well, we don't get the UFC often, so it may not be. But sometimes when fights that suck come to your town, like an hour before the fights happen, they go down like 75% off.
Oh, yeah. Jesse, we got another big fight announcement over the weekend. Andrew Ruiz versus Anthony Joshua 2 is happening. But small problem. Andy Ruiz was kind of hoping it would happen in America, maybe Mexico, if he really got to pick anywhere. Anthony Joshua was kind of, it seemed like he was politicking to get it back in England, because his U.S. invasion went as bad as it possibly could have. It's going to end up in Saudi Arabia, which is a whole new twist on this whole thing. I think this fucking sucks, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean?
But they have the greatest Royal Rumble ever.
They had the greatest Royal Rumble ever. Just look at the name. But I think it sucks, and I think it's actually bad business for DAZN. Because I think that a, like, 2 p.m. fight is not going to draw nearly the attention and nearly the subscribers.
They're not gonna adjust
no, of course not.
Oh, that's so terrible.
Yeah. No, so it's going to be, you know, like a 1 p.m., 2 p.m. heavyweight title fight on a Saturday. It's not going to draw nearly the subscribers.
And I enjoy those fights, but it was such...
But for most people, right?
Especially if it's West Coast time period.
Yeah, it's going to be like on like fucking 10 a.m. Who gives a shit? You can't like have a party, you know... For a fight that's had the most juice that a heavyweight fight has had in a long time.
And it's like in the winter time, so it's not even cookout weather.
No, horrible, horrible idea. Yeah, it's going to be in like, what, November or something? Do you remember the date?
Yeah, December 7th.
December 7th? It's just not going to play as well. And DAZN, who were promised Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder, DAZN was promised Triple G Canelo 3, DAZN was promised all this. Man, you know, all these things were supposed to drive up subscribers like crazy. That's not happening.
They're providing good content, though.
But where's the crossover appeal?
Yeah.
Where's the sex appeal? What am I supposed to get hard to if I'm not, you know, a deep dish guy? So I think that while it's clearly the fight to make, everybody wants to see it, you know, DAZN is kind of playing themselves by giving into this Saudi money and letting the Saudi money come in place of the subscribers, which long term are probably a lot more successful. Also, fuck the Saudis. Who gives a shit? They fucking did 9/11. I don't give a shit. What if this podcast gets shut down, like, literally right now? No, but yeah, go fuck themselves. Anything else on Joshua Ruiz?
Nope.
Did you see Joshua looks, like, way thinner?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think that's a good thing?
AIDS.
You think he's got the AIDS? His AIDS are telling him to lose weight?
If it was really the bodybuilding, then that's stupid. The fact that he allowed, like, his vanity to affect his boxing.
Man, I don't know that. First of all, he's talking about, oh, I need more cardio and I really need to make sure, you know, I can go 12 hard rounds. Have you fucking seen Andy Ruiz? Do you think that guy can fucking go 12 hard rounds?
He apparently can.
He went 6 hard ones. But I think that it might be a case of him trying to correct too much at once. You know what I mean? He lost one fight and now suddenly he's got to change his body type. He's got to change, you know, everything about it. He's got to change his fighting style. He's got to come in with a lot of things different, where he was the best guy in the world. Anthony Joshua, he's ranked number one in the world, at least. For him to change a ton at once, I think, is a little dangerous. But also, for sure, if you're his management, take down all the mirrors from his house, because he doesn't need to be, you know.
He needs speed.
It's like a Lex Luger thing, right? Like, yeah. How did you let yourself get this vain if you're, you know, motherfucker? Anything else before we get into the heavyweight action coming up this weekend?
No, I want to talk about the MMA heavyweight action that we have coming up. We have probably the best card left in the summer. Looks like nothing really is going to happen until the fall, but we're going to say farewell. This is the SummerSlam of MMA and boxing for this summer. Like, I mean, for this season, for this year. This is the last card we're going to talk about.
Big facts.
Yes.
So let's talk about the heavyweight title fight.
The main event, we have the two greatest heavyweight champions of all time squaring up in a rematch.
Are we willing to say that? Are we going to go that far? Stipe and DC are the two best heavyweight champions of all time?
Well, there's a big argument for that.
There is a big argument for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue. Sorry.
All right. Let's say the two best
active heavyweights. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
You have Daniel Cormier, the former Strikeforce Grand Prix champion, the former light heavyweight champion, the current heavyweight champion, one of the most accomplished fighters of all time. The man, the head coach who's the wrestling coach at AKA, turned fighter, versus Stipe Miocic, former baseball player turned MMA fighter, who descends from one of the most badass fighters, street fighters in Chicago. It's going to be Cleveland, one of those places.
Cleveland.
The Midwest.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yeah.
He was the first guy to win a championship for Cleveland in that their whole, like, drought. Because they had gone, you know, whatever it was, like fucking like 50 years or whatever it was, without any kind of anything. And then like 3 months later, LeBron James won an NBA championship. And everybody was like, fuck Stipe, who gives a shit?
Yeah, basketball is way more popular than MMA.
Oh, totally. Stipe's hit list, I mean, you look at this guy. This is a guy who knocked out Alistair Overeem.
Past his prime.
Knocked out Fabricio Verdum.
Past his prime.
Knocked out Junior Dos Santos.
Past his prime.
Knocked out Mark Hunt.
Past his prime.
Knocked out Andrei Arlovsky.
Past his prime.
Knocked out, that might be the end of the list. Beat Francis Ngannou.
Hmm? Before his prime.
Before his prime. Hasn't had anybody in his prime except Daniel Cormier, who did knock him out.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
JDS, in his prime, probably the very end of his prime, did beat Stipe, came back and won that, got that win back. DC, on the other hand, obviously he spent so much time at 205. He was the 205 pound champion at the time.
205 Live.
205 Live. He has never seen that weight class again in his life. Anybody who's talking about putting him back at light heavyweight is out of their fucking mind.
Did you hear that John Jones said he's not going to go to heavyweight?
Well, then they're not going to fight for a third time, because DC is not making 205 anymore, guys. Unless they want to make a catchweight at like 220. Ooh, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a catchweight fight at like 220, right?
Yeah.
That could be cool.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Because, like, that's DC. That's John Jones's problem, right? He doesn't want to have a huge weight disadvantage going into the cage. But at 220, you know, both guys might be able to weigh 220. I feel like that's what John Jones walks around at. He's not a super big light heavyweight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In terms of, like, weight. But anyway, let's talk about this fight. DC and Stipe faced off one time before this, last July, July 7th. Daniel Cormier knocked him out with a big left hand with a right hook coming right after it. That two-piece put Stipe out. It was the first round. It was very emphatic. Since then, DC has put together one win. He beat Derek Lewis. Stipe hasn't fought since. He's kind of just been saying, I deserve a title rematch. Dana White has said, no, you fucking don't. And now here he is. He's talked himself into a rematch. What do you think is different heading into this fight? Anything?
I think what's different is the fact that Stipe took the time off. Stipe had a child. He's raising his kid now. There's two big things that happens to a man when he has a child. He either says, I can't train and be as aggressive and be as tough as I used to be because I have a kid
this,
now.
Hey, this murder sport might not be for me.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the old Rocky thing. You know, I don't want to lose what I got. I got the kid now. I got the home.
I got a black friend. I got a lot going on.
Or it's the opposite. Or it's, I have to work harder now to make this happen. I mean, we've seen the change that happened for Donald Cowboy Cerrone's career. He became way better after he had a kid. We've seen situations where a lot of people will tell you that they could not have made the money that they made if they didn't have to provide for this child.
Eminem.
Yeah.
Great example. Haley got to eat. Yeah. We are not recommending anybody goes out and have a child, by the way. Anybody who's listening to this podcast whose career
needs pro-choice.
We're very much pro-choice. So, DC, this might be his last fight ever. He has said pretty much if he can't get a Jon Jones fight, which it looks like he can't, this might be it. Man, he's such a tough style matchup down here. But I will say, in that first fight, Stipe was getting the better of a lot of those exchanges. He was getting the better of that clinch work, and the natural size and length of Stipe Miocic was really starting to wear on Daniel. Not wear on him, but it was frustrating Daniel Cormier. He really had a hard time controlling these clinches. So I think the third fight, I think you're going to look at Stipe trying to sit behind a jab a little bit more, and I think you're going to see DC really rushing these clinches and trying to get a little bit more cage work going.
The odds makers have this fight almost 50-50, which Cormier is a very, very, very slight favorite.
And I'm going to agree, man. Give me DC. Give me a DC. I think he's able to pick up a decision win. I think it's non-spectacular, but I think he gets there.
Another fight that's 50-50 is...
What's your pick?
My pick in this fight? I have to go with Daniel DC Cormier.
You say it like it's a really cool nickname, but he really doesn't have a cool nickname. You know what I mean? It's not like Quentin Rampage Jackson. You know what I mean? It's just Rampage. Like his nickname. It's just like DC is, you know.
You know, before we had real athletes in the sport, they had the coolest
gimmick. We had psychopaths. Yeah, Charlie Crazy Horse Bennett. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
That guy is probably dead now. Yeah. Oh, man, that guy should do bare knuckle. That would be badass. You know who should do bare knuckle is Melvin Gallard.
Yes.
He would kill a guy. Melvin would fuck people up in bare knuckle.
Or Melvin Manhoof.
Melvin would...
Did they ever fight each other?
Gallard and Manhoof? Well, they're different weight classes. The one's at 155, one's at 185. So no, is the answer to your question.
That would have been cool, though.
Yeah, let's have Crazy Horse Bennett fight Anthony Johnson while we're at it.
Remember when Melvin Manhoof knocked out Mark Hunt?
I do, in like 18 seconds or some shit.
He was so much faster.
Yo, he came out, well, he hit like a heavyweight. Nobody had ever seen that kind of speed before. But yeah, it was like Pride or like Senkaku or like one of those like Japanese ones. And fucking Manhoof is just steroided to the hilt, right? Just like chugging BCAAs and steroids on his way to the ring. And yeah, puts together like a 12-punch Tekken combo. And the unbreakable Mark Hunt is just like falling like a tree in the forest. Unbelievable. Jesse, I want to talk about this co-main event. What do you think?
Yes. This is the people's main event. I honestly feel like this should be the main event just because the drawing power is there. You have the guy who was once the star of the company, the guy who was on the cover of the Wheaties box, the guy who they put all their marketing dollars behind, a very recognizable name, a very fan-friendly looking face in Anthony Showtime Pettis versus the most polarizing one of the biggest draws in UFC history, the return of the very controversial Nate Diaz. This should be the main event. If this was boxing, this would be the main event.
No, I don't know that I agree. Heavyweight title fight, really? Come on.
Yeah, but it's that.
Versus a non-title fight.
Let's paint the picture. So this is kind of like, let's go back to the mid-2000s, right? You had Miguel Cotto in the main event. You had Klitschko versus some Nigerian dude in the co-main event.
But DC's not Klitschko, certainly. DC's, you know, on UFC Tonight and on ESPN all the time. They just wouldn't book them together. You know what I mean?
If you just let Nate Diaz rant, he's going to sell the hell out of this.
Clearly, this is a main event worthy fight. Yes. There's a lot of fight nights that would
be. There's a good guy and a bad guy in this one.
Yes, that's what we're trying to say. It's a great fight. It's a fantastic fight. And it's a fight the UFC matchmakers didn't make. Nate Diaz's people called up Anthony Pettis' people, offered them a fight directly. Anthony Pettis' people were like, fuck yeah, we'll take that.
You know what's funny? Have you seen the build up to this card? DC's trying to play heel, but no one's buying it.
No one gives a shit. No, you can't play a heel with 2 months left on your career. Nobody's going to get in on that.
But this is a real rivalry that they have recordings of them bickering back and forth all the way back to 2013.
That was almost the date of Nate's last fight. Been a long time since Nate's been in the cage. We're looking at a 3-year layoff for Nate Diaz.
It's been 3 years since the Conor fight?
3 years since he lost to Conor McGregor. And even before then, his career wasn't exactly hot fire. He's lost, four of his last seven. In that time, he's been knocked out. His wins, listen to his wins. So he's got the Conor win, clearly a good win. But there's some asterisks and some circumstances around that, right? His other wins are Michael Johnson and Gray Maynard, which haven't necessarily aged the best. Anthony Pettis in that time, he stayed active, but maybe he would have been better with some time off, right?
Yeah.
Because he took some ugly losses in that time, and his skills have diminished. But he's back on a little bit of a career upswing. He has a big, crazy fight of the night performance against Tony Ferguson, which ended up being like a real turning point moment for his career. And then he fights Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, and even though he gets his ass whooped for about 10 minutes... he bursts out of nowhere with a Superman punch, puts Thompson out, and now he's in a nice situation.
And is banging the baddest chick of all the entire UFC fighters. Nobody can touch his girl. His girl is the most absolute, but bootylicious, amazing looking. I don't know what she is. She's exotic. She could be Middle Eastern. She could be Latina. She could be white. She could be black and white. She could be Asian and like Eastern Pacific Islander. Like, she's the baddest chick on the planet. So, if anybody wants to talk about who the real champ is, he's already won.
So, let's talk about... do you remember that weird thing where, like, his skills started to go way down right after that weird, like, firebombing at his house?
Yeah.
That was... are we ever going to find out what really happened there? Probably not, right?
That's what he's keeping his roids.
I really wish we could, like, figure out what was going on there. You know what I mean? Because something happened. I'm turning into an Epstein conspiracy theorist about that. But something happened. Something was up. Man, you look at this fight. Showtime Pettis, like I said, over time, I think his footwork is worse. That's what's worse with Pettis. The Thompson fight especially.
And I think it's his confidence.
Whatever it is. You know, Chiesa, Ferguson, all these guys, they've been able to just kind of push him around the cage a lot easier than, people used to be able to. Man, that RDA fight just totally changed the course of his career. Yeah. Unbelievable. But Nate Diaz brings a lot of pressure. So really, if we see a Nate, in my opinion, if we see a Nate that is, 80, 90 plus percent of the Nate that we had, I think Nate Diaz wins this fight off of aggression and boxing.
And Diaz is one of those like Bernard Hopkins type fighters where he doesn't necessarily have fight camps. He's consistently in a fight camp. Like, there's no time period where he's not in like a fight camp type routine. Him and his brother are like that too. That's why the cardio is so crazy. But that's also why, like, I don't think we've seen Nick in like 1,000 years.
No, we haven't seen Nick's last win was 2011 over BJ Penn. I think it's almost been a decade since Nick Diaz had a win in the UFC. And people still try to claim he's like top five talent.
Yeah.
Modern day. Like, if you were to get back into it. The Diazes have always been a little overrated because they have big personalities. You know what I mean? You know how we underrate Colby because he's a dick?
Yeah.
People, you know, kind of put Nate and Nick up a little bit because they like their personalities a little bit more. He's a middle of the road fighter. Like I said, he's 3-4 in his last 7. He is what he is. But I think
certain guys, man, like Cerrone, like Diaz, Ben Henderson was that for a while. Even if they lose, they're still your guy.
Yeah. Crazy, all those guys fought each other. Yeah. Nate Diaz got, I remember Nate got whooped by Benson Henderson.
Yeah.
That was the toothpick fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, I feel bad for Pettis. I feel like this is really going to set him back. But, you know, he's really been relying on finishes to pick up wins lately. And he hasn't looked good the longer fights draw out. And I think that's a tough, tough out against Nate Diaz to be hoping for a finish. Because Josh Thompson knocked him out. But other than that, it's been real, real hard finding that. So let's see what happens, right? I will say if Nate loses, his star power is utterly fucked.
Yes, done.
Utterly fucked. The next time he loses, pretty much, he's utterly fucked.
I mean, I think this is going to be a great jump start to get. He's going to get on the mic. He's going to call out Conor or Khabib. He's already has the history with Khabib. He smacked Khabib in the head.
Oh, yeah. I had totally forgotten about that.
So he could sell any fight. This is
which, by the way, apparently Khabib was cool with because he didn't like. Khabib didn't like charge after anybody after that one. You know what I mean? For that disrespect. Weird, right?
Yeah.
When he wasn't set to make, fucking $10 million, suddenly, you know, the disrespect really didn't matter as much against Nate Diaz. Funny how that works out.
Yeah.
Let's go to the feature bout of the evening, I guess you would call it. Huge middleweight fight between. USADA and the human public, you know what I mean, versus our ability to believe that these two guys can pass a drug test. Yoel Romero is fighting Paulo Bohacha Costa, and both of these guys look like superheroes. Both of them should be fighting Thanos. They're both bodied up like GQ models. Both of them are on tons and tons of steroids. But they're also really fucking good middleweights.
You know what?
They're on a lot of performance-enhancing drugs.
Every time I see people who look like this fight each other, it's always disappointed me.
It never turns out great, right?
No.
Very rarely. You know who the real badasses look like? They look like, and I'm thinking about this guy because...
Clay Guida?
No, I was going to say Robert Whittaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a Robert Whittaker build where it's not overly muscled, but it's still very fit. You know what I mean? Or like a Tony Ferguson's kind of that same way. You know what I mean?
You know, so in boxing, right? Whenever they announce two like knockout punches are going to fight each other, it's usually a really good fight to end up with a knockout. In MMA, if I went to put two big like explosive dudes... They kind of watch each other for, like, ever.
For a long time, yeah. Well, because a lot of that is, you know, just how often in MMA do we see guys who they have, like, two or three tricks and guys kind of fall into that for a long time, and then eventually guys just stop doing that?
I take it back, because you see that also in the heavyweight division in boxing. Like, the bigger the guy,
unless
you see it, when you see it in the smaller weight classes, when you probably see that.
That's true.
I'm nervous about this fight being a big disappointment.
I could totally believe that. So, Bohacha, which means rubber in Portuguese, or eraser, has not disappointed yet. He has picked up pretty big wins. He doesn't fight regularly, which I don't love. He hasn't fought in a year. I think he had some USADA problems, but he got cleared for a tainted supplement. And fucking Yoel Romero, do you remember? He had tainted supplement problems, and the company ended up having to pay him, like, a bajillion dollars. Because he was able to prove he was taking a tainted supplement. It's unbelievable. You know what I mean? Like, just
well, I mean,
like,
if you look at a guy and you want to accuse somebody of taking steroids, you accuse the 40-year-old rip dude. And then if it turns out that he didn't do it on purpose, you know.
Unbelievable. So this is Paulo Costa's UFC career so far. He started out with like 2 wins over 2 like kind of low-level guys. Then he's picked up 2 wins since. One was a big TK over Johnny Hendricks. What are we saying? Over the hill, right? Yeah. The other one, a big TKO over Uriah Hall, who is, like, spotty, right? That's not, you know, the most consistent win. Uriah Hall, a little bit of a gatekeeper. So he's pushing himself into this level, but if you look at Yoel Romero, I mean, the hit list is there. Listen to this hit list at middleweight. This guy is legitimately, like, one of the top 10 pound-for-pound guys. Luke Rockhold, knockout. Chris Weidman, knockout. Jacare, decision. Machida, Tim Kennedy. Brunson, Tavares. This guy is a bad motherfucker.
Arguably Whittaker in that rematch.
Arguably Whittaker. Could have beaten Whittaker. Didn't beat the scale, but could have beaten Whittaker. Yeah, and we got to talk about that. A year ago, Last June, he fights Robert Whittaker, one of the best fights of the year. Could have been the fight of the year. For a lot of people, it was. And so we're just kind of waiting for father time to kick in here, right? And so that's why they're giving him a young, hungry, undefeated prospect. UFC's really hoping that Paulo Costa wins this one. And yeah. is this next big Brazilian star. Because they're very thirsty for a Brazilian star right now.
They're as thirsty for Brazilian stars boxing as for a Puerto Rican heavy, Puerto Rican champion, period.
I thought you were going to say as I am for a Brazilian woman. So yeah, man, we're really, if Paulo Costa wins, he gets a title shot.
Yeah.
Watch, it's going to happen, 100%.
Stylebender's title or Whittaker's title?
Yeah, honestly, you know what I mean?
Are they fighting each other?
They should be. I feel like that's been a little up in the air. I feel like there's been so much attention around, like, the title drama at, like, 155 and 170 that, like, it's been a little bit less so at 185.
Even 170 has two belts.
I know. A lot of places. It's fucked up. Doesn't 155 have two belts? I feel like 155 has, like, six belts. Like, somehow there's only one organization.
There is two belts, yeah.
Yeah, because Tony has one, right?
Yeah,
or he
Tony
did?
Has one.
Yeah.
Tony has one, Poirier has one, and
Khabib. And Khabib has one. Right, yeah. Somebody has an IBF, somebody has a WBO, somebody has a WBC. Like, guys, there's only one fucking sanctioning body here. How did this happen?
That's the WBA. The WBA has like 1,000 champions. They have the regular champion, they have the franchise champion, they have the super. Then when Floyd used to fight, they have the champion emeritus.
Oh my god. It's like intercontinental, and like, you know, that's without even getting into inter.
When is Tony gonna get a fucking title shot? Jesus Christ.
Ever? Can we say ever? Can he get one fucking look? By the time he gets his title shot, Stevie Wonder will be cage side watching. That's how advanced medical technology will be at the time. Let's stick in the middleweight division. I think this is a good fight. Derek Brunson is taking on Ian Heinisch. Ian Heinisch is kind of turning into an MMA folk hero. He's a British guy with a really interesting story about... he's kind of working himself back. Have you heard about this guy? You haven't heard about Ian Heinisch? He's crazy, man. So he was locked up in a British prison for, I think, like bank robbery or something. Kind of like a Lee Murray situation, if I remember right, off the top of my head. And he's working his way back in. He's a really good interview. He's a pretty exciting fight. He won on the Contender Series, and he picked up two wins ever since in the middleweight division. And he's just kind of plugging along, and now they're putting him in there with gatekeeper among gatekeepers, Derek Brunson, who's very much a classic gatekeeper. Listen to Derek Brunson's losses. Israel Adesanya, stylebender. Jacare Souza. Anderson Silva. Robert Whittaker. Yoel Romero. This guy has the right losses to have as a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where he's like just underneath that. Oh, and he lost to Kendall Grove before he was in the UFC, but it happens. So Ian Heinisch, a lot of power in those hands. It really fights hard, fights with a lot of emotion. I think he's got the goods here with a 13-1 record to get over on Derek Brunson. But the interesting part is going to be the wrestling of Brunson.
You know this is a 50-50 fight?
Man, I believe it. I'm gonna make my pick. I think my pick is going to edge towards Derek Brunson with the wrestling. Just because I think the English don't know how to wrestle. And I'm racist like that.
Yeah,
I'm racist against the English.
Is a very slight favorite.
See, and people want to root for him, though. You know what I mean? Which
yeah.
can always like fuck with
it the... It always fucks the odds.
It does. So that's my pick. And I think that's definitely a fight worth watching. If you're not up on Ian Heinisch's story, my recommendation to everybody is go get woke on this guy. He is real good. Jesse, we have one fight left that I want to talk about, and that is Rafael Assuncao. He's taking on a really hot rising prospect. I guess he's not even a prospect anymore. He's just a really tough guy in the division. You know, he's kind of established himself. Corey Sandhagen, who is crazy tough. Rafael Assuncao is coming off of a really disappointing loss to Marlon Moraes. He got knocked down and choked out in the first round. It was a title eliminator. He was looking really good. Until then, he had beaten Moraes. He had beaten Aljamain Sterling. He was putting together big wins. He had wins over TJ Dillashaw. But, you know, he stumbled on the finish line. Corey Sandhagen has been plugging along. He's put together a lot of really solid wins. This guy's really good on his feet. He has skills on the ground. He has skills everywhere. He's a dynamic guy. I think this is a really interesting fight here at 135. What do you think?
I'm excited. I keep hearing about Sam Hagen. I'm excited to see where he goes from here. This is it's an alright fight. I'm not like super hyped about it.
All right. Do you have anything else for the week, Jesse? It's okay. We don't run a show.
Yeah.
It's not like a thing we've committed to for years.
I was going to say, you know, the calendar looks a little dry between now and September. It looks like September, it's going to pick back up. We're going to have our big fight. It's going to be Khabib versus Poirier on the 7th. Boxing comes back in full effect with a stacked calendar coming in September, late September, around the 28th. But we will also cover the Tyson Fury fight on the 14th because Tyson Fury is going to do some silliness. He's going to bring the entertainment. That's Mexican Independence Day weekend, so it's going to have a lot of eyes. And I'm excited going forward. Not too excited about that fight, but I'm excited going forward. I'm excited about the co-main event in this UFC. I'm excited about the main event. I'm scared of the cost of fight. I've said that before. And it's going to be great.
It's going to be some good stuff.
We have a great fall. We got a great winter. We apologize for last week.
It is what it is. We didn't control that main event.
I still blame you.
We're only two men. Why are you blaming me for Shevchenko and fucking Carmouche? I only did my best. Jesse, let the people know how to get a hold of you.
Follow me on social media, JRivasComedy on Instagram and JRivas on Facebook.
Find me on Instagram, find me wherever, who gives a shit. I'm around. And find the show. That's more important. Subscribe to the show. Tell a friend about the show. We really appreciate it. If you like what you hear, it really helps us when you help us grow it, just with that word of mouth kind of stuff. And we will be back next week here on the Fighter's Block. We'll see you guys soon.